Praise God. Micah chapter number 7, verse number 7 reads, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall,
when I rise,
I wrote down the wrong one.
Sorry, we just put on my spot.
I just wrote down. I got a typo. Make sure.
7-8.
Okay, thank you. Are you there?
Yes.
Right, make sure I'm there.
Micah.
I got the right script, right?
That time. I apologize. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. Not if I fall, but when I fall.
There's going to come a time where we're all going to fail. We're all going to make a mistake. It's going to happen. Amen? But it doesn't have to stay that way. He said, I shall arise. I don't have to stay down.
Right.
I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, there's going to be some dark days I'm going to have to face. The Lord shall be a light unto me. There's going to come dark days in my life, but the Lord is going to be my light. And He's going to push back that darkness. Amen. I won't give you my title, but you'll understand it a little bit better as we go along. My title this morning is, When You Can't Get Out, Jesus Can Get In.
Amen.
When you can't get out, Jesus can get in. God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. For a short time, a little bit of a history lesson, I guess you might say, I was reading some things this past week and came across this and started to do a little bit more study, and some things and thoughts came through my mind, and just one thing led from one thing to another, so on and so forth. But during the Second World War, Colts at Castle in Germany, and I can't remember exactly, I probably should have wrote it down, the city it was next to. Actually, Kolzett is a village outside of another town that was larger. But Kolzett Castle sits up on the hill and looks down on the river. And it became a Nazi camp, a prison camp. And it was set up to be escape-proof. It was an escape-proof, quote-unquote, place. Many ranking Allied POWs who had repeatedly escaped from other prisons were sent to Kolzett. And they were placed here because at this particular facility, there were more guards than there were prisoners. Thus, to keep them in confinement. Those confined there, though, were very desperate, and they would do anything to try and escape. There were more than 300 would-be escapees. Amen. After they were caught in the act. Often, the same people were caught repeatedly over and over again. One of them I'm going to talk about here in a minute was caught 7 times. And on his 8th time out, he did make it out, but was shot dead in the back on his 8th attempt to escape. On 130 occasions, these escapees actually made it outside of the castle wall. But the number, who got cleaned away was only 30 during the entire course of time. So there was some that did escape and got completely away. But there was so many more that were brought back into confinement. The head of security, Reinhold Eggers, he was an officer, and he began to write down all of the different ways that these escapees were trying to escape. He took sketches of different things, and there's all kinds of memorabilia there to this day. And they thought it was quite amusing of all the things that they came up with. They took photographs of the prisoners' disguises, the paraphernalia and such that was found, and it is in the museum today. Their meticulous record keeping tells this story. And so I'm going to talk about some of those that were held in captivity. Lieutenant Peter Allen was smuggled outside of the camp, inside of a straw mattress. But his plot was discovered when a soldier stepped on one of the other mattresses that was housing another accomplice, another escapee. And he stepped on it, and I'll give you a little bit more. He stepped on it, and when he stepped on it, the man made a noise, but he was sewn inside of the mattress. He got out, but they got caught because a guard stepped on the mattress. Polish Lieutenant Schmitz, not a very long name, forget it, tried to slide down a rope with bed sheets from the castle's attic, but the nails on the bottom of his boots scraped the sidewall, thus giving the guards a heads up, and they caught him when he got down to the bottom. Captain Pat Reed slipped out of the prison through a drain cover, but was caught by a fluke when the guards just happened to be standing on the very lawn that the escape tunnel, this drain, came out. They said that they were standing right there when he popped his head out of the cover. Can you imagine? To go through all of that, to go through the drain system and poke your head up, and there's two guards standing in front of you. And they're oblivious to what's going on, but here again, they got caught. French Lieutenant Boyle, exited the prison disguised as a woman, which is kind of unique. He exits as a woman. But a polite German guard chased him down because he dropped a watch on his way out. And he chased her down and recaptured her. What a bummer that would have been. A Dutch prisoner tried to trick guards into thinking that they were all present at roll call by standing a dummy in the middle of their ranks. As the guards walked amongst them, they soon realized that those prisoners had no feet. And so they caught them. French Lieutenant Pedro, disguised himself as a camp electrician to make his dash to freedom. And he did such a good job at his papers, in forging his papers, that he was only stopped later that day at a checkpoint when they went through and was already alerted that they were missing somebody, but he had already escaped and had got clean out of the city, but he went through another checkpoint, and that's when they realized that they had an escapee. What a tragedy it would have been to get clean out of the prison, get out of town, get away from everything, and then get stopped again at another checkpoint. 10 prisoners attempted to escape through a hole in the lavatory of the German headquarters building, but were caught when a guard heard a scratching noise on the other side of the room. When they went to investigate, they found them there escaping through the wall. An English prisoner named Dominic Bruce tried to make his exit hiding in a Red Cross crate, and he made it out but was recaptured several days later. There is a purpose that I am doing this morning. The prisoners had what history called a storehouse. A storehouse of stolen uniforms and costumes hidden away so that those that wanted to make an escape would have some use of some things to make their escape. One prisoner, Michael Sinclair, had made 7 previous attempts, and he had gotten clean away and out the front gate. He walked right out the front gate with his disguise this time, but they realized it, and they shot him in the back, and there he lay just 150 yards outside of the prison camp. The greatest escape attempt actually never took place. Behind a dummy wall, high in the attic of the castle, British prisoners had spent months secretly putting together a hang glider from wooden shutters and mattress covers and whatever else they could find. They were freed by American soldiers before they got a chance to see if it would work. There was a picture that showed where they had taken out everything in the interior wall but left a facade there that was as wide as the hang glider that would take a couple of them at a time. And they were planning an escape to all get in the hang glider and push it out, because the winds would come up off the river in the evening time, late in the evening and through the night, and they thought if they could push out that part of the wall, they could take the glider and push it and then fly to safety. They never got to use it because they were freed by American soldiers. Every escape attempt from Colden Castle resulted in several weeks of solitary confinement. So, I say all that to say, can you imagine how disheartening it must have been to come face to face with the enemy time and time again after you escaped, but to have their arrogant faces look at you in the eye and laugh and mock at you and drag you back to the cell from which you came. Can you imagine the heartache? Can you imagine the mental anguish that they must have felt? Can you imagine the hopelessness of captivity without an end in sight? I dare say that some of us would say yes if we really stopped to think about it. Because the reason why we can't say yes is because there's certain things in our personal lives that we are in prison. We are facing a prison sentence. No, we're not in a concentration camp today. No, we're not in a prison that has walls and barbed wire. But we are in a den of depression. There are many that are in the jailhouse of jealousy. There are others that are in confinement of confusion. There are others that are in the stockades of sickness. There are those that are locked down with lust. There are those today that are in the penitentiary of pride. There are those in the mental ward of waste. There are those in the torture chamber of terror. There are those today that are in the reformatory of rage. In the detention of discouragement. In the prison of pain. In the institution of immorality. In the asylum of alcohol abuse. In the dungeon of drugs. And worst of all, in absolute solitary confinement of sin in general. You and I may not be in Colden's Castle today, but you can identify with the likes of what I just read to you. You're fighting rage. You're fighting pride. You're fighting and bound by lust and immorality. Maybe even bound by alcoholism and drugs and whatever other kind of thing. Maybe it's just the depression that you faced even this morning as you tried to drag yourself out of bed and say, well, I'll just try one more time. And I'm glad that you did, because when you can't get out, Jesus can get in.
Yes.
much like these prisoners, you tried time and time again to escape. You tried this to get away from the terror that plagues you at night, and the fear that comes upon you in the midnight hour. You try to run here and you try to run there, but you continually are held captive by many of these very things that I've spoken of today. But today I want to talk to you about when you can't get out, Jesus can get in. For when Jonah was in the belly of a great fish, he couldn't get out, but God can come in. God stepped in on the scene. And how did he do it? He did it when Jonah turned his face toward the temple, and he said, and he starts praying, and he starts repenting. Let me tell you today, friend of mine, you may not get out, but Jesus can come into your situation. To find a place to repent. For Jonah said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Lamentations 3:21 said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness, and great is thy faithfulness. I'm here to tell you today that even though you may be trying to cover up the pain that you're suffering, the torment, the discouragement, the worry, all the things that you're bound by today, and you can't seem to get out, I'm telling you, Jesus has a brand new mercy for you today. Jesus can get into your situation, and he can make a difference. So the first thing that I must say to us today is we got to find a place to repent, and he can get in. He can get in when we can't get out. Then we have another man by the name of Joseph. He was in Pharaoh's prison, really no hope of getting out, but somehow he took responsibility in that prison, and he became the head over that prison. And so just if I can just use kind of a type and shadow, and he did his very best, and he was the keeper of all the prison. I'm going to tell you today, when you can't get out of prison, if you'll just take responsibility, if you'll just take responsibility and say, you know what, I am where I'm at, and this is a difficult situation, but I'm going to take responsibility. I ain't blaming it on them. I ain't blaming it on them. I ain't blaming it on nobody. I'm going to take responsibility of my situation. And it wasn't too long till the Pharaoh said, hey, bring Joseph out. Bring him out. And he put him in the king's house. He made him the second in command over all of Egypt. Let me tell somebody today, when you can't get out, God can come in. God can come in to your situation. When you're in prison and you don't see any hope, he can get you out. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:2 said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Oh, hallelujah. If we could learn that in this day and age where there's not much faithfulness, there's not much commitment, and there's certainly not very many people taking responsibility for where they're at, for the situation they're in. But I'm going to tell you today, God loves it when somebody just back their shoulders and says, you know what? I made some bad decisions. Some things have gone wrong in my life. Some of them I could have done, some of them, and maybe some of them you may not have done anything about. But I'm going to take responsibility. And God said, I'm well pleased with that. I can do something with that. While you don't think you can get out, I'll come in and I'll help you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And in that fiery furnace, and I hope y'all don't think, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not preaching very long. I'm more than halfway done. You say, what? Yeah. So I want you to get on board, because I'm fixing, these girls are going to be ready to sing here in just a minute. I'm not going to
be like Pharaoh. God said, let my people go. I'm going to say, I'm going to let y'all go.
I ain't going to keep you bound. I ain't going to keep you in prison today with too long of a message. I know it's a short thought. It's a simple thought. But it's a powerful thought that if you get a revelation that I can't get out of my situation. I don't know what else to do. Jesus can step in. I said Jesus can step in. You may not even be able to get out. No way, no how. But if you let Jesus step in, it won't matter whether you get out or whether you don't out. Don't get out, because he'll be in your situation. There's another example of that fiery furnace. Those three Hebrew boys, they chose to rely on God. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 16, they answered, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We're going to rely on God. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand no matter what. We're going to be delivered today, whether by the furnace or by you. It don't matter. I'm relying on God. I know I don't have any choices here. I know it's fixed. It's set. I'm going to be in confinement to that furnace. That's what the Bible said. But Nebuchadnezzar got more upset and angry, and he said, turn that puppy up seven times hotter. And as they did, those of the men of his army cast them into the fiery furnace, and those men were burnt with the fire as they cast those boys into the fire. But I got news for you. When they couldn't get out of the fire, God got in. The flame as it slew the other ones, when they came into the fiery furnace, they were bound, but not for very long. Because Nebuchadnezzar, as he looked, as he waited, as he looked into the situation, he said, did we not cast three into the fire? Were they not bound? They said, oh, true king. He answered, lo, I see four men, and they're loosed. I see four men, and they're loose walking in the midst of the fire. Hallelujah. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. When you can't get out, he can get in. When you can't get out of your fiery furnace, of the trial of your life, if God made it, hallelujah, he may not get you out, but he may come on in to your situation. It's all right. I'm here. I'm going to stay in your fire with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then we've got Psalms 91 and 9 said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And it wasn't too long after those young men were in the fiery furnace, another young man comes along by the name of Daniel, and he went ahead and set his face against all opposition. When there was a decree made to bow, he said, no, I'm not going to, you can't pray to nobody else but when the king is set up. We're going to do it this way, and while people set out to bind him, to bring him captive. There's people that are trying to bring you captive. There's people that are trying to keep your mouth shut from testifying about God, from telling about his goodness. And they were trying, they were so under conviction by Daniel's lifestyle of routinely going and praying. praying before God. Yes. And when the decree was made that nobody could pray to anybody else, and he opened up his windows and he said, well, here we go. Yes. And he threw open the windows and he kept his routine and he turned his face towards God and he prayed again. The Bible said in chapter 6 and verse number 10, as he did aforetime against the opposition, he maintained his routine before God. Then the king commanded that they bring Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. That heathen king had no idea really what he was saying. He was really hoping. He was really just hoping that his God was going to show up, because the scripture said that the next morning he got his robe on and he ran over there to the den. His prison. He ran over there to the den of lions and he said, Daniel, is it well with thee? Has thy God saved thee? And he said, oh, King, live forever. Live forever. The Lord has sent his angels and has shut the mouth of the lion. Daniel, you couldn't get out of your situation, but God could get in. God could get in and set you free. God could get in and come around and around you. I'm telling you today, God's interested while you don't think there's any hope, while you don't feel any excitement, while you have no direction, while you're facing confusion, that conspired against them, they were thrown in. Yeah. There was no angel for them. The Bible said that them lions started snapping them up before their bodies even hit the ground. Yes, sir. They were hungry. Yes, I said they were hungry. Yes. And there wasn't any hope for Daniel's situation, but when God stepped in,
yes. There's a bunch of them. Hallelujah.
But I'm going to stop with this one. Paul was here and Silas was here, and guess where they were at? They were in prison. They were in a jail. They had been beaten and over. They were bent over and beaten, and they had their arms and their necks in stocks and in bonds. They had no hope of really getting out. But Paul looks over to Silas and says, hey, what do you think about singing, he set me free? What do you think about singing, victory is mine? Oh yeah, I can't get out. Go ahead.